holiday, the Torah Rabbi Shmuley, help.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Today is the Yutzat of my Zayde, Rabbi Yossel Halpern. I'm sure many of you over here knew him for a lot longer than I did. He was a demis. He was somebody who managed to change the face of the town. And I feel it's a special zchir, especially to speak on his Yutzat in Machzik Hadas. He had a very big hand in setting up the Kehillah. He told my father, whoever knew him will smile, he told my father exactly word for word what he's allowed to write on the Matzeva. Because there's no wishy-washy things, everything has to be 100% true. And one of the words he told him he can write, he should write, is Memiyaste Machzik Hadas, one of the founders of Machzik Hadas. And Baruch Hashem, we know that the koyach of this kehillah of Machzik Hadas had changed the face of the town, what Manshe used to look like. He used to have a fun saying of Manshe was the Eretz Loi Zeria. Eretz, where the Loi was Zeria, where the No, where the negative, was planted in here very, very strongly. But Baruch Hashem, this place has changed completely, and even from every year that goes by, we see how the face of the town becomes more Erlich, a more Teirdik, a more Yiddishkeit. It's a phenomenal growth, and the Sagaritic is here to be able to speak in his Yuta, Imachzik Hadas. Yesterday we started the Tzkifat Kul Bein HaMatzurim, the 3 weeks. 3 weeks is 21 days, really 22 days. We count Shavuos V'Tammuz with Tisha B'Av together. And Klal Yisrael are crying, Klal Yisrael are mourning, and Klal Yisrael are realizing what they're missing and what we used to have and where we are now. When one goes into life, as with every person when he has his busy with his day-to-day life, it's hard to step back and take control. That's where every successful business will have its certain time of the year when they go through their accounts. They've got to take the step back and they've got to have a look. Where are we going? Are we going forward? Or are we going backwards? Or are we just stabilizing? Because it's very easy to work day in and day out and day in and day out. You can have a tremendous turnover. But it doesn't mean that there's any profits on the bottom line. So you get to a period of a yearly period, a monthly period, or whatever it is, and a person takes a step back. I'm going out of the day-to-day accounts. I'm going out of the day-to-day running. And I'm going to make a calculation, an overview of the whole picture, where we are, where we're up to, and where do we want to get to. So we have those tekifas the whole way through the year in all different aspects, and all different with all different inyunim. When it comes to the 3 weeks, we're in Gulis already nearly 2,000 years we're in Gulis. We're thrown out of the palace of HaKadosh Baruch Hu nearly 2,000 years already. And 2,000 years is a long time. We get used to it, especially when we're busy with our day-to-day life. We come and we go, we get up in the morning and we go to Daven and we go to learn and we go to our Shi'irim and we go to work and we do whatever we have to do. We're doing all our mitzvahs and our ma'as and toivim. But sometimes we have to take a step back and realize, where are we? And where do we want to be? We're in Gulas. And where do we want to be? We want to be at home. We're not at home. We're wandering around the world. But where do we belong? We forget already where we belong. Because it's normal to forget after such a long time. It comes to 3 weeks, and we take a reminder, and we take stock, and we try to internalize. We are B'nai Meluchim. We are princes. We don't belong in the streets of Manchester. We don't belong in the streets of Europe. We don't belong in the streets of America. We belong in the palace of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's where our real place is. And that's what we yearn to be. And that's what we ask for 3 times a day in Shemini Esrei. Every single day, we don't let, and we don't stop, and we keep on asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please take us home. We don't belong over here. And because we internalize this message over these 3 weeks, that's why Chazal gave us the methods and the ways to help us to internalize this message. And they gave us the halukhas of the 3 weeks. They're not halukhas which confine us. They're not halukhas which make us difficult. These are halukhas which help us to internalize and to realize that we are princes. These are halukhas which help us to appreciate what we're missing. It helps us to realize that even though you've been in Gulas for nearly 2,000 years, we don't belong here. It's a wonderful, wonderful reminder of our privileged status. If sometimes a person can go by a long time and he forgets that he's this frequent traveler where he has a platinum gold card and wherever he goes all the travel lounges are open for him, especially the last period. But then he gets the privilege once, he can go on a trip and they remind him, you know what? Wow, you can get your privileges back again. We have so many privileges that are inherent in our etzem being. Just that we are Yidden. Just that we belong to the Eibishter. B'shimon oimer kol yisroel b'nei meluchim heim. We're all princes and that's where we belong. So Chazal helped us to remind us. So they gave us aluchas of the 3 weeks. It starts yesterday, it started with the tanis. We can't have chasna. We can't listen to music. We can't cut our hair. And then it's going to go to Rosh Chodesh Uv. We hope it's going to be a greater simcha and a greater Yom Tov this year. But in the meantime, haluchas of Rosh Chodesh Uv, it gets harder. We can't eat flesh. We can't drink wine. And we're not looking to cut the corners to get around. I want to find a way out. I'm going to be mekel. It's very shvitzy. It's very hot. It's very humid. It might be. And therefore, if somebody needs it, he'll ask a shal and maybe he'll get the heter. But our focus is trying to internalize and trying to get to the realization we're missing something. We're missing something. Something so unique. Something which rightfully belongs to us. And that way we're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please, we want to go home. That Yidden can sit down on a Tisha B'Av. Who even start the 3 weeks after nearly 2,000 years in Gulas is absolutely mind-boggling. Why should it bother us what happened so long ago? Takel was a beautiful house. It was a beautiful palace. The Beis Hamikdash was something absolutely breathtaking. Whoever's learning our Daf Yomi knows we're busy with our void of the Kor of the Beis Hamikdash and Yom Kippur, where the Kohen Gadol was. We lived the Gemara. We learned through the Gemara. We start to have more of a feeling for something which is more abstract generally. And we start realizing there was Ezra's Nushim with 4 Lishkas. Then we went to the Ezra's Yisrael. There was Ezra's Kehanim. There was a Mizbayach. There was a Mukim HaKetoiris. There was a Mukim HaKorbunas. There was the Heilige Heichel which had inside the Mizbayach HaZuv with the Menorah, with the Shulchan. And then there was a Kodesh HaKedushim which the Kohen Gadol was zoiche to go in. One day a year. And for that, Musa Achuna he had to do, how he had to prepare himself. Taket, we learn Masechtas Yima and we realize more and more we're missing something. But Asfilo Hucha, we should sit and cry over something. Not we knew, not our Zaydas knew, and not our Zaydas knew, and how many generations back. There's a famous story that Napoleon was once going down the road somewhere. It's a famous story, but it's worth going over. And he heard crying coming out from a house. So he went to look what it was. And he walked into a shul, and it was Tisha B'Av. And he sees a whole oilam, a whole kul, a whole congregation on the floor crying. I said, what happened? Maybe I can help you. What's going on over here? So we're crying. We used to have a Beis HaMikdash. We used to have a house in Jerusalem. When was this? A few hundreds, nearly 1,500, 2,000, I don't know what exactly the history dates we're talking about. But centuries and centuries ago, Napoleon's comment was, if you can have a nation that can mourn over something that's been gone for so long, it's obvious, blatant obvious, that it's going to come back. We know by Yaakov Avini, he was crying over Yosef HaTzadik for 22 years. Chazal tell us, Gezeira shetishtakach mes min alev. Anybody who's lost a relative, it's very painful at the beginning. But as we go by, and the weeks and the months, and definitely if the years go by, it gets easier. That's how Kodesh Baruch Hu created us. We don't cry the same as it happened when it was a week after the nifter was after the person was nifter. And Yaakov Avinu was low, he couldn't have any nechuma because Yosef HaTzadik was alive. It was only a gezeir shahames mishtakach min alev, not somebody who's alive. If we can cry over the Beis Hamikdash after nearly 2,000 years, what greater raya, what bigger proof do we have that it's not a mess? Klal Yisrael hasn't died. We're just in the middle of a transformation period. We're going through something, some type of a tikkun. We're going through some type of a process, which is a healing process. Something which is going to transform us, to be able to be mekabel, the beautiful light of the Shekhinah Kedosha, of the Moedike feeling of Kirvas Elikim Litoiv, of being next to the Eibush and the Beis HaMikdash. It's something which we can't understand, some we have no misagov, but occasionally we can have sometimes a Yom Kippur. We can have sometimes a special mitzvah we've done. Sometimes we feel that little bit of elevation. We feel sometimes that little bit of a feeling going through us. Wow, something was priceless. Something has just happened to me. I would never give it away for anything. And that's how we lived in the Beis HaMikdash, minute by minute, day by day, week by week. Kirvas Elikim Litoiv. It hurts though. We're in Gulus, and we hear Tzuris one after the other. Especially the last period has been like a sledgehammer hitting us and hitting us and hitting us. And it hurts. We've had a year and a half of Corona with everything that word entails, which is books and books you could write of what that one word means. And now recently we've had Klal Yisrael especially have been hit so hard. I don't think there's anybody amongst us who hasn't shed tears over Meron, over Kalin, over this week's tragedy of Miami. These things don't even go in anymore. We've been hit and hit and hit. And we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is of Rachamon. The whole mystic of Rachamunus, the whole mystic of mercy, which we understand, which we feel, compassion, is all a creation. It's a creation by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He created the mystic of mercy. He created the mystic of compassion. If he is the one who created it all, and if he is the Netzach Netzuchim, he is the Ein Sof, he is somebody without any limits. So therefore, his mercy has no limits. His compassion has no limits. Whatever compassion we might feel for our closest, nearest person is nothing compared to the compassion which HaKadosh Baruch Hu has for Klal Yisrael. Then how do we go about trying just a little bit to understand and to have a feeling for what's going on? Be'emes, the kasha is not just now. The kasha has been the whole way through the gulus. Every generation through gulus has had their tzuris. There's been generations where the tzuris have been so hard that we can't stop thinking about them. The Second World War, the Inquisition, and reckon out everything. But there's been periods of tzuris in Klal Yisrael which were on extreme level. And there's been other generations where generally it seemed to be okay, but there was always problems, there was always tzuris. How do we understand it? When we have Av HaRachamon, we have a father who is so compassionate. And he's not only compassionate, he's not only our father, but he's Avini Malkeini. He's our father, our king. Why do we say Avini Malkeini in our tefillahs? Why do we say Avini, our father, Malkeini, our king? So the Mefarshim tell us, because a father wants the best for his child, but he's not always capable of producing it. He doesn't have the resources needed. He doesn't have the finances needed. He doesn't have the capabilities needed. A melech, a king, has all the resources that are needed. But he's not always compassionate. He can be a tough king. He can be a strict king. But Avini Malkeini, if my father is the king, then I have unlimited help. I have unlimited resources. So we turn out that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you are Avini Malkeini. You are our father with the most rachamim which there is. And Malkeini, you can do everything. So how do we understand it? Not coming with any new rayonos. Everything I'm going to say is everything we all know anyway. And you see, this Shurim says at the beginning, he's not coming to say any chidishim. But hemanti ki adaber, when we speak out amina, it goes into our bones and it goes into our fiber. And it helps us to realize again what's going on. Every father knows if their child is sick, they do whatever they can to make their child healthy. Depending on the severity of the illness, will depend on the severity of the treatments which a child will have to go through. Most treatments hurt. Let's start with a very basic one. If the child is at home with fever, and like most children, they love sweet things, but if it comes out of a bottle which looks like medicine, then we've got a problem to get it down their throat. And then start a battle at home, trying to get that liquid, those few milliliters of liquid down their throat. Oh, the child starts crying and screaming. And the parents stand there, and very often they have to literally force the medicine into the child's mouth. It hurts to see the child suffering. They know the child is suffering, but they've got to do it. And versteht sich, that's only the small mush. But there's treatments which really, really hurt. We have nebuch people who are unwell, and they have to go to the doctor, and they have to go through serious operations, and they have to be sedated, and they get, without all the details which go on in an operating room. But it's something which none of us want to walk in and watch. Most of us don't want to stand during an operation and watch what's going on. But willingly, we'll give our child up and send him into an operating theatre. We could never watch what's going on. We could never understand, we could never withstand, sorry, the torture of watching our own child being put through such an ordeal. But we still do it willingly. And you know what? When the child comes out, not only do we do it willingly, but we pay up the invoice as well. And the invoice can be, a father can be told his child, or parents can be told their child's operation will cost £100,000. They will never blink an eyelid by saying no to an operation to save the child's life for whatever much money would cost. Even though they put them through such torture. Because we all know, we all understand, pain itself is not a criteria of deciding of what we do in life. There are certain things which have to be done, certain things which we understand are the correct thing to be done, and certain things which are such beneficial, are so beneficial to our children, to ourselves, to our people around us, that we are ready to go through everything and anything in order to get to the tachlis, in order to get to the conclusion, in order to get to the happy ending. But sometimes we feel things happen. Who said it's a doctor? Maybe it's a terrorist. When you go down the street and the terrorist blows himself up and hurts everybody in the surroundings and there's blood all over, he definitely didn't come here to heal anyone. But you can have exactly the same scene. You can walk down the street and somebody has chalished, somebody's heart stopped working, and there's somebody, a specialist who's there on the spot, and he knows exactly what needs to be done because there's 20 seconds to save this person's life. He can take out a knife and cut the person on the spot and save his life. He can make him a hole in his throat, he can do him a small heart operation. There are so many things which can happen all of a sudden. The bypasser, when he's standing down the street, how do we know if it's a terrorist who's there to make us suffer? Or how do we know if it's somebody who loves us? Or somebody who wants us to be healed? Somebody who wants us to be better? If you walk into a room and you see an operation taking place, with one glance, you know if the fellow standing there is a Dr. Mengele Yimach Shemoy, or if somebody standing there is a compassionate doctor. Have a look if on the side table there's bandages. You can have a look if it's on the side table there's stitches. Have a look if on the side table there's treatments and painkillers and other things which are needed to be done in order to heal the person after the operation. If somebody's there to cause pain for somebody else, he's not trying to make it any easier when he's finished. His tachlis is just to cause the pain. His tachlis is just to make the person suffer. And with that, he's delighted. He's going to bandage them up as well. But any normal doctor, obviously before he starts doing an procedure, he's going to make sure that he can put the person back together again. It's a small thing, but it throws a lot of light onto what is going on. Chazal tell us a klal. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always makdim refiah lemakeh. We don't always see the refiah. We're limited little people. What can we see and what do we know? But we believe with every essence of our being. And Chazal tell us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is makdim refiah lemakeh. He never gives us a makeh until he has the bandages ready on the side. He never gives us a makeh until he has how to repair us and how to heal us. And that is the greatest gili. That is proves and shows to us that whatever is happening to us is always an operation and is never there just for us to suffer chas v'shulam. So apusik me'ita le'yeta ruah. From the Eibishter will never come out anything bad. But we believe and we know that we're going through a period which started by Churban Beis HaMikdash, and it seems to be gone off a roller coaster at the end of it. It seems to be spinning at unbelievable speeds the further we've gone into Gulas. And that this period of being healed, the operations that we're going through, and the missing of where we're trying, the place of where HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to bring us to, is obviously on a complete different planet, on a complete different level than where we are. We know the Mitzrayim took the Yidden when the Yidden went into Gulas Mitzrayim. They suffered so much, the Yidden suffered so much. They hurt, they were really hurt. We read Medrash Chazal. It was extremely gory. And it was extremely hurtful and painful. Their children were killed. They were whipped and beaten, humiliated. They had everything that could happen to them wrong. But what came out of it? We understand why it had to happen? No, we're not doctors. We're not specialists. We don't know why these things have to happen and why this causes the transformation to take place. But Klal Yisrael came out of there. They went in as Shivim Ish. They came out a nation. That's where we got born. That's where we became a nation. A nation that up till today is the Am HaNivcha. We are that Kodesh Baruch Hu's presence in this world. That happened from the Yisirim in Mitzrayim. That happened with the Yisirim that came there. How people cried tears. But they were going through such a beautiful process. And Taki Yidden believed. And that's why they came out of the Gulis. The Rosh says, who was Zoichet to come out of Mitzrayim? The 4/5 that were Nifta were the ones who never had a minna that they're going to come out. But the 5th who survived were the 5th who said, I know, HaKadosh Baruch, He didn't forget us. He's not hurting us because He wants to hurt us. We're going through a process and we're going to get out of it at the end at something else completely. And in the last period, the last 3 months, when Moshe Rabbeinu came to Paro and he told him, let the Eden go. And Paro, instead of letting them go, made the tourists much more. And that's what saved us. And that's what took us out of Mitzrayim 190 years earlier than we should have done. We are so small. We are such tiny beings compared to the grace of Ashefa. But our emunah is so huge. Our emunah is like a rock. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can never take away our emunah from Yidden. We've been through so much. And we always come out at the end of it and we say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we know what you did was right. We know what you did was good. Even though we're crying, because the cry isn't a contradiction to belief. When somebody has pain, he cries. But there's not a contradiction in any type of way to emunah. And we believe in you. And we know what you did was for the best. And we know you're taking us to somewhere where we'll look back and say, wow, how did we get up this mountain? How did we end up being transformed to being the Am, the nation, which is going to be close to the Eibishter. We're going to be Mulah Oretz Deyos Hashem. We're going to be on such a level that we won't even understand how did we go through such a gulis? How do we go through such low levels when we are so, in essence, such high people? We are so big and we are so strong. Therefore, from every clap we get, Avad we cry. We have to cry. Because we're Noisa Ba'ilim Chaveiroi. The Gemara tells us gewaltige things. We have a mitzvah to feel along with somebody else. But we are Hamarachimim, even we wouldn't have such a mitzvah. We feel and we cry along with our brothers. But we know and we believe that there is a path over here. Nothing has happened by coincidence. And we are going to come out to be this gewaltige, to this gewaltige light. We're going to be Zoichet HaBeis HaMikdash. We're going to be zeichet to Kirvus Elokim LiToiv. We're going to be zeichet to phenomenal things. We're going to be zeichet to see our fathers and our zaydas and our elder zaydas. And we won't be embarrassed to look them in the face and tell them we were Yidden and we believed, even though we went through such a period of choshech. Our level of mitzvahs and our level of Torah and our sugis and ruchnias are nowhere near what there was in the Mulligat Doiris. There's Duyaridis HaDoiris. Oh, but the level of emunah which we have, when we're going through gulas for so long, we can be proud of, and we can face them and tell them, our zaydas, you have what to be proud of. We managed, we survived the obstacle course, and we passed with flying colors. There's a famous little anecdote that Rabbi Meilich Biedman says over very often. He says, when somebody's standing outside a door and you're knocking on the front door of somebody's house and you've got the little peephole and you're looking inside, you see the peephole is light. So you can see the lights are on inside the house. And all of a sudden you're waiting there, it's quiet, and all of a sudden it goes dark, that peephole. You know someone's watching you. Because it only goes dark when somebody puts their eye to it to look out at you. When it goes dark, it means the Eibishter is so close. When it goes dark, it means the Eibishter is looking out to us. He's telling us, I'm here. I'm watching you. It's short to carry on, but just to finish off, we have to realize the darker things are and the harder things are is a siman the closer the Eibishter is. Rav Shimshon Pinkus brings down, he brings it out so beautiful in a very, very mamash in 2 minutes. If you have a mechitza, we generally think of a mechitza in a beis medrash, a mechitza in a hall is a something which divides people, something which makes them further away one from the other. You have men and ladies and you want to separate them, so you put a mechitza down. If you have something which is a construction zone and you have people walking down the street, you want to separate them, so you put down a barrier. Barriers, mechitzas are there to separate. We said that's only superficial look. If you think about it a little bit deeper, a barrier and a mechitza brings things close. Imagine you'd have a beis medrash, imagine this hall, I want to have a shiur for men and ladies together. We have a problem, we eat not sneer stick, we can't have a mixed crowd. So we have men in here and we'd have to put the ladies somewhere else. We just put one of a few of those mechitzas we have at the back across the room, and all of a sudden the men and ladies can sit within a meter of each other. A mechitza creates closeness. You can have a construction zone, which is a very dangerous place. We've got to keep far away. If you put up a barrier, you can let the kids watch. They can get within a meter of what's going on and look through those little windows in the construction site. You can have a deep cliff. You want to see Nefluis HaBoira. You want to go up to a big building, but it's dangerous. There's no walls. You put up a wall, all of a sudden you can get close to the action. The same thing happens with everything. But when it comes to Klal Yisroel with Eibishter, just he throws one more mushul. He said the mushul Bahas Sinai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to get close to us. We know the famous story of Shimon Levi with the king. He told him to look up at the sun in the middle of the day. He told him, I can't look up at the sun. He said, if you can't see the sun, how do you want to see the Eibishter who created the sun? You'd go crazy, you'd go blind. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to bring himself to Klal Yisroel on Har Sinai. How can he get us so close? If the sun would be 1 mile nearer to the earth, would shrivel and fry. How could the Eibishter come and put himself on Har Sinai and we should survive? He took a ushon kekivshon ha'esh. He took the most thick smoke that there is. He put it around his shechinah. And the barrier was so strong, therefore he could get so close. The bigger the barrier, the stronger the wall, is the simon of how close somebody wants to get to us. When we go through tzuras, which we go crazy of, because we can't understand them, it's a siman somebody is extremely close. The Eibishter is listening to us. He's as close as ever. And the Eibishter is going to help, as Mizoy Chazan, as this Shivus, this Tamuz, and this Uv, is going to be Yom Ma'ayli Nefchi, L'susen L'simcha. We're going to be Zoycha, it's going to be the Yom Tov of the year. How the Mefarshim bring down the Surin right. The Tisha B'Av is not going to just be a Yom Tov. That's going to be the crown of the Yomim Tovim. That's going to be the special Yom Tov which we're going to have. Leibsh Zohel, Mizol Zoychazan, Si HaFleishige Tisha B'Av, in HaFreilichen Tumit, Sazamim Mashiach Tzadkeini, B'mherev Yomeini.